Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Barrel to Bottle, the Binnie's podcast. I'm your host, Kristen, and here with me is Greg.
Kristen, did you know that this is our 50th episode?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Do you feel 50? Because I don't.
No.
I feel like it's the new 40, you know?
50th episode is the new 40.
40th. Yeah.
Something, I think something that keeps everybody coming back is at the end of our episodes, we like to do a Q&A segment where
We give away money.
Well, I mean, we also answer questions, but people can write in their questions to us at Binnie's Bev on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, comments at binnies.com via email. And if we pick your question, if we choose your question and answer it on the podcast, you'll win a $20 Binnie's gift card.
It's kind of my favorite part of the podcast as well.
Yeah, it's always a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have to leave the Q&A segment on the cutting room floor.
Yes.
Sometimes it's too long for the podcast. It's already too long. Sometimes stuff goes off the rails and it just gets kind of ridiculous.
When I'm in the room, that tends to happen. I know that about me. Well, sometimes we'll do more than one Q&A for one episode, and it turns out after the episode that one was just kind of more appropriate for that than the other. There are a lot of reasons as to why they sort of kind of, some fall to the wayside, but we're here to pick them up. We thought, what better time to kind of get these misfit Q&As, so to speak, out to the public than to just dedicate our entire 50th episode to the customers, their questions, and our answers.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, we can give away extra gift cards this episode.
Dude, like $200.
Plus, we kind of get to go on break this week. So, we're going to do some Q&As from the vault, unaired Q&As from the vault. Stick around to the end. Kristen and I are going to do a lightning round Q&A session and give away a bunch more Binnie's gift cards.
Love it.
Yeah. So, this first clip is from our 4th of July episode about what did the Founding Fathers drink. And in the room was Kristen, Roger, Greg, and Pat, the full Barrel to Bottle crew, tackling this question from Vicky Borgman.
Thank you, Vicky. Let's ride.
And it's time for our customer Q&A segment on Barrel to Bottle, the Binnie's podcast. This week we have... Kristen, who's our question from this week?
This week it's from Vicky Borgman. And Vicky wrote, what is the proper way to drink red wine? I'm new to reds and I tend to chug them.
You do you, Vicky. Don't listen to the haters.
I think she means she tends to chug the whites. So she's wondering if she should slow it down, kind of pump the brakes on the reds. I think trial and error, man, right? Like, channel your inner Thomas Jefferson or George Washington and just, like, down a pint. See what happens. What do you think?
I think I would like to promote responsible drinking and say serve yourself one glass of wine, which is roughly 5 ounces, and drink it as fast or as slowly as you like.
Holding the glass is on the stem as close to the base as you can, swirling.
Yeah, we'd suggest pouring it in a glass.
Oh, man. Glasses are overrated. I think that it comes in a glass.
Pick a different one. Pick a different one.
Roger's question-shaming you right now.
Should I uncork it and just pour it all over myself? No. Crazy straw?
I think proper way to drink red wines.
Roger just tapped out.
I gotta figure out the beer buzz.
Bye, Krabby.
What a grouch.
Yeah. I think what you want to kind of go for, number one, is service temperature. Red wines generally have a higher alcohol content than white wines do. So people say, hey, let's drink them at room temperature. Pat, what's room temperature at your house?
Room temperature at my house is, I think, like 72 degrees.
And that's just too hot for red wine. With how much alcohol is there, in order to have the wine perform the best it can, alcohol obviously evaporates more readily than water does. So it's the hotter the wine is, the more alcohol is going to evaporate, and it will dull your senses and will dull the aromatic beauty of the wine. So you want to chill that baby down. So around 55 to 65 degrees, or 55 degrees is really what I like for a deeper, darker, maybe Cabernet red wine.
And are we calling that cellar temperature?
We call that cellar temperature, my friend. And if you wonder how to get your wine there, coming from, you know, your shopping bag coming out of Binnie's, just go ahead and throw it in the fridge. Yes, you heard me. Pop it in the fridge, 10, 20 minutes, cool it down, and enjoy.
Perfect.
Don't forget the glass. Unless your kids are just driving you crazy, then who cares, Vicky?
This is a judgment-free podcast zone. We don't care if you use a glass.
Exactly. Come on. You use a bucket. We don't care. So just remember, Vicky, proper service temperature. Vicky, I tend to chug them. So that's it. Just make sure you drink it at proper service temperature. Everything else is wide open. So, Vicki, I hope you enjoy your $20 gift card to Binny's Beverage Depot. Pat, Greg, it's been a pleasure with you this week. I hope you guys have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
I will. Thanks. Thanks. Sorry, Vicki, but that was awesome. We enjoyed it.
We had a good one.
You know what? I wonder what if they spend their $20 gift card. I mean, not that it matters. They can buy whatever they want. You know, it's America. But I'm just curious to know if we answer a bourbon question, do they buy bourbon with said gift card? Or, like, I wonder what that is.
We've never gotten a follow-up.
Yeah. If you listen in to Barrel to Bottle and you have won a $20 gift card because we've answered one of your fantastic questions, let us know. If you bought kind of something along the lines of what we were talking about for that episode, or if you went rogue and bought a flat of Miller Lite.
Yeah, you know? What'd you get? Let us know what you got.
Yeah. 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 Is it weird to want to know that? No, I want to know.
I want to know how we have touched people. All right, so next up, Jamie Gump on Twitter had a question for us. This one was way back. Not that way back. It was like episode 34 or 35.
Okay, so not that long ago.
Yeah, we had that interview with...
Randy Mosher and Nicodemus.
So that was such a cool interview, and it went way too long, so we couldn't include the Q&A that we did for it.
One of our most popular episodes as well. One of the most downloaded.
So those guys left, and so just you and Roger and me... Just Kristen, Roger, and Greg were left in the room to answer this question from Jamie Gump.
Feel a little weird when you refer to yourself as Greg.
I am Greg.
I know, but, you know. Okay, so what's her name?
Jamie Gump.
Jamie Gump.
With a question about what new flavors we were expecting to see in Wine, Spirits, and Beer in the future.
Oh, yeah, cool. All right, that's a good question.
Yeah.
All right, here's the question. Now, folks, it's time to turn to our customer Q&A portion of the podcast. If you would like your chance to win a $20 gift card to Binny's Beverage Depot, write us in at Binny's Bev on Twitter. If your question's awesome or really difficult, we'll choose it, we'll chat about it, and we'll give you $20 to spend at any of our Binny's Beverage Depot locations. All right, so today... we've got Jamie Gump. So at Jamie Gump, she writes, American beverage choices seem to run sweeter than European. So what new flavors might become popular in the future? So that's kind of a two-parter. The trend is, yes, historically, Jamie, Americans were known for drinking sweeter styles, especially in wine. But now the trend is we're drinking drier and we're drinking more expensive. So we're kind of closing that gap. But it's also worth noting that historically, the European wine business was built on sweet wines. This is especially true for the Dutch, who carried wine all over, having the old famous, you may have heard of, little Dutch East India Company. So they traveled all over sweet wines. And then sweet wines, you know, being fortified, were oftentimes the only kind of wines that were stable enough to make these seafaring voyages. So a lot of the, you know, the old school European wine palate hundreds of years ago, it was formed on, of course, sweet wines. Now, drier in the sense of, you know, Bordeaux and especially Chianti, red, white wines, yes, they're oftentimes dry, but they do make a wealth of sweet wines as well. But for the most part, being that the European culture is to have a glass of wine at lunch and just one glass of wine at dinner, for the most part, these are seen as dry wines. Whereas an American consumer, and I definitely know and have a few customers of my own that kind of just gravitate towards the sweet wine styles, and we'll drink a sweeter wine with a big chewy fat steak. Some, you know, it's a pairing that I would never go for, but for them, they absolutely adore it. So kind of the best of both worlds, I think, worldwide. Gentlemen, you want to weigh in on the sweet versus dry?
Beer's going sweet still. Yeah. We just went through the phase of sodas.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, there's kind of a new category that's being called pastry stouts. So stouts that are modeled after desserts, be it chocolate cake, all sorts of stuff, s'mores.
Yeah.
Peanut butter cup.
Yeah.
All kinds of breakfast cereals.
I think that actually follows the trend of IPAs. IPAs have tended, whereas in the past they had a bitterness to them, a bite from the hops, seeing a lot more dry hopping, which imparts hop aroma and a little bit of hop flavor, but not any bitterness. That's a heat reaction that takes place. So if you're introducing the hops on the cold side, you're losing that bitterness. So as our palates are changing and a lot of people are getting into beer and they're drinking these IPAs that aren't very bitter, they're then also being attracted to other beers that aren't very bitter.
Right.
So,
and whiskey went through ages and ages of flavoring, from honey to cherry to root beer.
To spicy now and hot.
Candy.
And,
yeah. So here's my prediction for the future. I'm waiting for other food types to come into, especially whiskey. Oh, we forgot about wine. Coffee flavored and bourbon barrel.
Yeah, like coffee pinotage was generally one. It was made with a special yeast strain that kind of gave those coffee aromas into the South African red.
Coffee Apothic literally just has coffee in it.
Yeah. That's a weird thing, and I don't know how long that's going to last. I'm going to throw on my genie hat and say that coffee Apothic is going to be a fleeting product.
So buy your bottle now and keep it on the shelf proudly for decades.
Yep. Put it in your cellar. Pull it out with your prize Conterno. So side by side.
I've been rooting for the flavored vodka to come around to savory foods, so like ranch. You know, waiting for my ranch vodka.
Dude, you disgust me.
Waiting for my Flamin' Hot Cheetos whiskey.
Oh, God. I'd try it, though, just so I can, you know, you have to know.
Those cheddar crackers with peanut butter sandwiches. I'm waiting for a gin to come out with the cheddar gin.
Hey, the Wisconsinite in me wants to love it, but I can't. I just can't. Yeah. So you think we're going, maybe the new flavors are going to be moving from the sweet. We've kind of explored everything in the sweet categories. Every berry, every chocolate. I mean, look at vodka. Vodka has had everything up in it.
In a more nuanced way. I mean, yes, we're still pumping out things like mint chocolate chip whiskey. That is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
In a gas can, no less. But also, I think some of the whiskeys that are coming out now, you're starting to see more barrel finishing like you did in the Scotch industry. So that, too, I think is leaning again towards the sweet side. So you're seeing a lot of bourbons that are finished in things like port and sherry barrels. And I think that's going to continue. So I people keep trying to fight it, but a lot of people have a sweet tooth. And they don't necessarily like to admit it, but they do.
Mine's raging so much that I have to cut myself to desserts one day a week. Otherwise, this dam will just break down, and the chocolate and peanut butter river will flow.
It should be noted, though, that Amaro's and Digestifs and Aperitifs have kind of plumped up in popularity. So
yes.
lot of them are still sweet. Like, traditionally, Campari and Aperol, people call them bitter, but it's like
bitter
they
and
have a
sweet.
Lot of sweeter.
Yeah, that's true. Compared to, like, a Fernet Branca.
Which just tastes like chewing tobacco wintergreen.
I remember the first time I had it. It was an eye-opening experience.
Yeah.
It was a little bit too late in the night, I think, for that, you know, but nonetheless.
Yeah, so, nobody starts their night off with Malort.
No, they should, though. They should, unless it's on a dare, or there's a whole host of ways in which somebody could do that, but yeah.
So yeah, while maybe not mainstream, there is this contrarian interest in things that are quite, quite bitter.
Yep.
Yep.
So the next flavor, pizza roll.
So, Greg's vote is pizza roll. Roger, your next flavor?
I don't know. They're running out of tricks.
They are.
Chocolate, probably. People are going to, I think, start seeing more like whiskey creams and stuff.
Yes.
That's an underappreciated category.
Yeah, it's becoming more popular, especially in Buffalo Trace and that kind of thing. We can finally get it into the market. People go batty for it. Yeah. I still feel like I'm on the coffee train still. I think the coffee flavor is going to come about even more and more, especially mixed with like bourbon barrel aged beers. I think it's popular, but I think it's going to come about even more. And they're going to call it things like cappuccino or latte, or they're going to have like a mocha kind of coffee spin on it.
I think one of the next big things is going to be dry hopped wines.
Ugh.
With these new hop varietals, some of them are super tropical. White wines dry hopped with hops. I'm telling you right now, this is going to be a thing.
That makes my stomach
It already exists. Man. It's going to be a thing, though.
Oh, God. Whoever's making that thing a thing, stop making the thing.
Yeah, knock it off.
So, folks, Jamie Gump, thanks for writing in. We will get your $20 gift card to you as soon as we can. Hope this answer sufficed. If not, go ahead and write us back and tell us how good or bad we did. And if we decide to put you on again, you might win another $20 gift card. There is no limit, folks. If your question's awesome, you could potentially buy all your Christmas presents just off of Barrel to Bottle, the Binnie's podcast. Thanks for joining. Write us in at Binnie's Bev on Twitter for your chance for a $20 gift card. That's it.
All right.
Thank you.
Cool. Okay, Jamie, here is your long-awaited $20 gift card. I hope that that answered your question sufficiently.
I hope Jamie's still listening.
She is.
And I still hope that Pizza Roll Tequila comes out sometime soon.
I don't.
Yeah. No. I don't actually either.
Yeah. Because I know I'm going to have to taste it. That's the thing is, like, no matter how weird, esoteric, or whatever the heck else comes across the desk of our buying offices, if it's whatever it is, I have to taste it.
Like, exactly.
And so I know it's going to be bad, but it's my due diligence to do it. So when Pizza Roll whatever, Pizza Roll gin, you know, I will suffer through it. I will complain, but I will suffer through it.
Do you ever do this? I get in trouble at parties. I'm like, this is disgusting. Try it.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Right?
Or like,
oh my God, this is so bad.
They'll see my face and they'll be like, oh no. And I'm like, oh no, don't listen to me.
You got to try this.
Yeah, yeah. But like, I'm the person who'd be next to you going, oh hell yeah, and I'd try it. You know what I mean? Like, I want to know how bad is, because then that helps you appreciate, you know, how good is. It's the yin and yang.
Exactly.
My friends.
So just a week ago, Pat and Roger got a hold of Wes Henderson, who was in town for an event.
They did a continuing education seminar, I think. And Pat and Roger sat down before the seminar. They caught Wes on his way, and they sat down and they taped a podcast episode.
They did a couple of different Q&As, and we used one, and it was a good one.
Yes.
It was about barrel char. It was fun. Go back and listen to it. And by the way, go back and listen to Wes Henderson anyway. He's fantastic.
It was a good cast.
But they had a couple of other questions, and here they are.
Yeah.
All right, so we've come to the Q&A portion of the podcast here. We hand out a gift card if we select your question. What kind of question are we hitting today, Pat?
This one from Stacy Smiley on Instagram asks, how does the barrel prevent rotting when it's aging whiskey?
How does the barrel prevent rotting when it's aging whiskey? We're talking about it preventing...
How does the barrel not rot when it's full of liquid?
Well... That's a really good question. I guess the integrity of the barrel has more to do with just the wood. You've got something that's 125 proof sitting in the barrel.
Certainly not going to let anything grow in it that's going to compromise the integrity of the wood.
You can pour that in a gunshot wound, and it's going to clean it up real nicely, so you don't have to worry about that type of, you know. The types of contamination and things we worry about, or rot or whatever, has to really in the whiskey-making process is going to happen in the fermentation and other things like that. So, I mean, you can have – or when it's in the bottle. You know, years later, you can have oxidation, you know, stuff that's – you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, that's the enemy is oxidation of bourbon. So that's a good question. But, you know, fortunately, it's not something we really have to deal with a whole lot.
I mean, something high proof, and if the barrel is full and it's made out of oak and oak is swollen, it's not letting a lot of liquid out of it, you know, it's going to oxidize slowly in barrel, but nothing's going to grow in there because there's 125, in your case, what do you say, 113 proof juice in there?
Exactly right. Good question, though. I've never been asked that question.
Thanks for your question, Stacy.
Yeah, thank
Smiley.
You. Appreciate it.
If you have a gift card from Binny's, you can get yourself some Woodford.
That's wrong. Don't edit that out. Leave it in.
I was looking at the next. The next question was, what's the char level for Woodford? I have Woodford on the mind besides, obvious.
I don't know what their char is.
Well, let's ask
But that's
here.
Okay.
Another question this week comes from Tapperton on Instagram. Can a 100-plus proof whiskey still be bottled in bond?
It has to be 100 proof.
That is correct. At least I've never been told otherwise. It can be older than 4 years, but it has to be bottled at 100 proof.
Yeah, I'm reasonably – we could call Bernie Lubbers, who, you know, with Heaven Hill is like the expert on everything bonded.
He's got a tattoo to prove it.
I could phone a friend right now. But, you know, but it creates an interesting question just overall about regulations. You know, the regulations are very subtle. You know, sometimes you can say – it could say no less than 100 proof, you know.
Yeah.
Like bourbon can be bottled at no less than 80 proof, things like that. But I'm pretty sure the bottle and bond is 100 proof, same distillery, same season, all those things.
Yeah, bottle and bond act does specify it must be bottled at 100 proof. There's no gray area there. Well, thank you for the question, Tapperton. If I'm saying that correctly, you've won yourself a $20 Binny's gift card. So ask us, barrel and bottle, any questions? Tag them.
Barrel and bottle.
Barrel and bottle.
How are they supposed to tag them? Hashtag barrel and bottle.
hope that clears things up for you. Stacy Smiley 22 on Instagram, and Tapperton. No wonder he couldn't say that right. Tapperton will reach out to you on Instagram. And by the way, I think we should give a gift card to Danielle Bishop for her question about Woodford's 2, because Wes Anderson kind of answered it.
If this means to get to give away another gift card, I'm on board.
All right, good. So we got 3 out of that segment.
Boom, $60.
Yeah. So that brings us to lightning round.
Okay, here we go.
You ready for this?
I was born ready, my friend. This one comes from Brian D. Price. Brian Price or Briand? Briand? Is it Briand?
It's either Brian D. Price or Briand Price.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, so we've got Briand Price or Brian D. Price asks, what is bourbon like with high rye compared to mostly corn-based bourbon? And what's more popular?
Brian, you're kind of asking a weird question there. Bourbon, legally by definition, is 51% corn at least. So rye is used as an additional grain along with barley. Sometimes wheat is used an additional grain along with barley. Rye gives it the spicy qualities. Even a so-called high rye bourbon still has 51% corn.
Correct. And so I think what Brian or Brianne is trying to get at is, what does a high rye in the mash bill contribute to the flavors and aromas of a bourbon? And High Rye, famously Four Roses, is probably my favorite High Rye brand. And just like Greg says, adds spice, adds complexity. Pat Brophy likes to comment on the wintergreen that you get kind of just above the glass, that I think is pretty great, but it's just a deeper pepper spice.
Yeah, it can be vegetal, can be spicy, can be herbal. Yep.
Right.
And then wheat tends to give a higher sugar level, so plush, pillowy sweetness and plush body.
As well as corn.
And corn, you know, so it's bourbon, so it's
that's why it has that inherent sweetness over, say, a scotch.
Plus the vanilla and those new oak barrels. Yeah, bourbon.
Can't go wrong. In a nutshell, Brian or Briand, it's spicy, and it's just going to be a bit more complex in terms of those baking spice and vegetal notes.
Lightning round. Let's speed it up. Brianne, you got too much answer for that lightning round question.
Yep, right.
Next up, at Girl in the Yellow Coast on Insta asks, which state grows the most hops in the U.S.?
The state with the most hops is, without a doubt, Washington State, but it's really the Pacific Northwest in its entirety that is the epicenter of hops production in the country.
Yeah.
But also, we can't forget our brothers and sisters over there in Vermont. Quite a bit of hops grown in Michigan as well. So kind of right around the Great Lakes, you got some good hops. So short answer, Girl in the Yellow Coat, we've got Pacific Northwest, Washington State.
Bam.
Okay, so we've got Kidzern25 on Instagram asked, what is the shelf life of an unopened bourbon cream at room temperature?
Gross!
So Bailey's, as you said, promises 2 years, as you have researched before. Bailey says 2 years opened or unopened. I don't really know if I think that that's healthy. Once you open the bourbon cream or whatever cream-based liqueur, you got to store it in the refrigerator.
It's made out of dairy. It's real dairy cream.
Yes, but it's UHT milk. Okay. It has to be, which is ultra-high temperature pasteurized. It gets up to 280 degrees for 2 seconds and kills all the bacteria, good and bad. And that shelf life of that UHT milk, like your little creamers, the USDA is UHT. It says UHT on it.
Like at a pancake house.
Exactly, that are warm and stuff. 9 months. But with the addition of sugar and alcohol, which makes things even more stable, I think therein lies the 2 years from Bailey's. I'm going a year, man. I don't think I would.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're buying bourbon cream, why would you sit on it for more than a year anyway? I just have a hard time. Unless maybe they forget about it or they move and it ends up, you know, somewhere in a box.
It's not
2 years max, but I'd say I get to give it a year, especially if it's made out of dairy. But if it's dairy, it's got to be that UHT ultra high pasteurized. Otherwise, it can't be on the shelf at a room temperature.
It's not going to curdle. It's not going to sour, but it's going to get less and less good.
Well, if you put some lemon juice in there. All right. So $20 to you, Kids Earn. Thank you for that wonderful question. It's pretty interesting. And next up, we've got David S. on Facebook. Do you use different species of wood for the barrels, and are the barrels used more than once? Great question, David. The answer is absolutely. If you can name the kind of wood over time, people have aged booze in it. I mean, that's the easiest question. The most common in the United States, most popular for bourbon, is a species of tree called Quercus alba, or white oak, Of course, all bourbon must be aged in white oak barrels.
New white oak barrels.
That's right. Brand new. Spanking new. The best kind.
So that means that when they're done, they have a lot of leftover barrels.
Mm-hmm. So they get shipped off to Scotland or to be used elsewhere. And to Mondavi, they put some Cabernet in it or Zinfandel, that kind of thing. So lots of different ways.
Every brewery in America.
Every brewery in America will use these leftover bourbon barrels. So the secondary market for used barrels of sherry, of port, of bourbon, you name it, all go to different categories, different regions of the world in which they age their other products in.
Right. And then, like in the world of wine, you use a barrel more and more. The more times you use it on the same varietal, the more neutral it gets.
Correct. The more times you fill it, up to about 4 or 5 times, after 4 times, you won't get any of that wood flavor, the vanillin or whatever else. You'll just get the benefits of oxidative aging. You don't get the flavor component.
Is it true about the Greeks and the retsina?
What about it?
They use pine.
Uh-huh.
Pine barrels.
Yes.
So it pulls the pine resin out of the barrel and gives it that pine
That's
resin.
That's one way, but really they put a proportion of resin in it. It's a certain, it's like 100 grams per liter or something of, and certain retsina producers will use high-end resin.
Whoa.
To create a resiny, delicious wine that the ladies go crazy for.
Thank you, David S. via Facebook. $20 gift card coming to you. Good opinions.
Buy something aged in wood, buddy.
Question for you, Kristen. Rick S. on Facebook asks, how can I tell better alcohol just by the bottle? What ingredients or processes improve taste? All I know is higher shelf and higher price equal delicious.
That is a loaded question, and you really can't answer that because there is not much of a... Let me take this back. When I open a really inexpensive bottle of wine, the cap feels cheap to me, cheaply, sure. Like a cheap material.
Yeah.
That's one way. And the bottles are very, very, very light. Like there is something to say. Nobody wants to talk about it, but I really wonder what other people's opinions are. The heavier the bottle tends to be, heavier bottles carry more expensive and better wine sometimes.
There's got
to
be some psychological warfare in there where they just throw some $20 wine in a $150 wine bottle. And then
if you're looking at price, Rick, really, for me, I start at $20. The $20 rule, I find across the board, $20 bourbon and up, $20 wine and up, I find I get good quality. You get good artisanal producers making honest products with minimal intervention and just want you to have a great time. So $20, that's how you know. That's the price moniker on the shelf.
Otherwise, you're literally talking about judging a book by its cover.
Exactly, which you just can't do. And so there lies the fun of this whole game that we play. And it just pop corks, man, and enjoy yourself.
One more question.
Let's do it.
Jay Benstein asks, when did drinking games become a thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as people got bored with being drunk.
I think as soon as people invented marriage, you know? but here are a couple things. The ancient Greeks used to play kotobos, which was basically a precursor to beer pong. So they had different ways in which the game was played, but basically it's toppling a balanced cup by filling it with wine from your own cup. So it's super messy, but you just kind of knock over the cup. The first person to fill it then has to chug theirs, I assume. The ancient Chinese had, you know how we play rock, paper, scissors? They played tiger, chicken, worm, wood.
Oh.
And then drank around that for some reason.
Rochambeau?
Yeah, I guess. Medieval Europe, they would settle disputes by having a chugging contest. So if you and I get in a fight over who gets the most gift card giveaways next year, we just get literally a gallon of beer. And the first person to finish it wins. And then the other person has to just give up whatever they're pissed off about.
I could take you.
Yeah, I know. And then in more recent times in Europe, or kind of more Renaissance, I guess, later medieval, it was passing verbal assaults was a drinking game. So we would sit around in a circle, and whoever had kind of the, I don't know how they would do it, the best insults, you know, they would win, and then, or the loser would have to drink or whatever the rules were. But it was just like making fun of people. And I just call that Friday at the bar, you know?
Right?
I mean,
yeah, we just turned that into a culture.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I think the short answer is as soon as there was ethanol and liquid, people were making games out of it. But the first recorded are really the ancient Greeks, and the ancient Chinese. So, Jay Benstein, thanks so much. $20 to you, buddy.
Yeah. Thanks to everybody.
Oh, we sell beer pong kits you can buy. So, Jay Benstein, if you buy a beer pong kit from us, you better let us know.
How many? It's right. It's red Solo cups and
yeah, we got. We have everything you need, man.
Oh, man.
We pretty much have to.
Once again, everybody can always write to us at Benny's Bev on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Email us comments at bennys.com and ask us your questions. If we feature your question on an episode like this in the future, $20 Benny's gift card coming to you.
My favorite part of every episode is giving away $20 gift cards to our listeners. So cool. Thanks for your loyalty. Thanks for your participation in our Q&A segments. We look forward to giving you 50 more episodes of education more. And fun.
Yep.
Cool. Stay tuned. Thanks so much. As always, I'm Kristen.
I'm Greg.
Keep tasting.
Oh,
and keep questioning.